The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
Welcome. The weekend has arrived for some of you, and we're glad you're joining us on what could be a pretty busy afternoon. A lot of news, especially from out west, where the Pac-12 had its media days today. We finally saw the missing person, George Kliavkoff, who apparently had been in witness protection since he lost his best member and most valuable member a couple of weeks ago. He has some pretty blunt comments. You can tell he's frustrated. He didn't threaten any lawsuits like Bob Bowlesby did a year ago, but this is what he had to say earlier today.
The new Big 12 commissioner said they were open for business in terms of expansion. What gives you confidence that the 10 remaining schools are going to stay in this conference?
Yeah, we've had two board meetings a week for the last 4 weeks, and looking my colleagues in the eye and understanding their commitment and that their first priority is making sure that the Pac-12 survives and thrives and grows and is successful. They're committed to the conference, and I think the best thing to do is to ask them about it. And with respect to the Big 12 being open for business, I appreciate that. We haven't decided if we're going shopping there yet or not.
Now we got conference commissioners talking about going to shopping malls for teams. Kirby can do some shopping. Coaching salaries have climbed aboard college football's runaway train. Jerry Brewer wrote that. We'll talk to him later on. And Vandy opening camp today, and Clark Lee is determined to make Vanderbilt the best program in the country. Why don't you try the county first? Andrea Adelson from ESPN joining us to talk about all of this. Andrea, great to see you. Let's get your comments on Kliavkoff today. He is definitely a new breed. We knew that. But it's hard for me to imagine commissioners like Swofford, Delaney, Slive or Sankey talking like he did today. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, I think we know what George has been doing for the last month. He's been in a room without any devices, because imagine what would have happened if he had tweeted this or made phone calls or started dropping some of these quote unquote bombs, grenades, using one of his words, over the last month. And what I found really curious about all of this is he saved his most pointed comments not for the Big Ten, with which he had a, quote, alliance and looked Kevin Warren in the eye, remember, and believed in each other, and their word was bond, and everything was going to be great. Yeah, he wasn't criticizing the Big Ten too much. The strongest comments were aimed at the Big 12, which has been outspoken about wanting to secure themselves and maybe trying to get some Pac-12 schools. I thought that was really interesting, Paul.
Andrea, why are we to believe, or why are we not to believe, that all these guys are just a bunch of liars based on what they say one day and do the next?
Look, everything in the history of conference realignment has shown us there's always somebody who is negotiating or talking or doing something with their fingers crossed behind their back, right? I mean, how many times have we gone through all of this, even over the last two decades, where there has been so much realignment, whether it was the ACC going after the Big East or the Big Ten going after Nebraska and Maryland, or what the SEC has done, where people are just shocked that they sat in a room together and heard vows about making commitments to each other, while an hour later, someone's on the phone alone in a room making a call to someone else in a different conference, and then voila, the word means nothing anymore, right, Paul? And so I have had a lot of flashbacks over the last few weeks, particularly when it comes to talking about the ACC, with what happened in the breakup of the Big East, which I covered very early in my career at ESPN, and I wrote a story about it last year on the 10-year anniversary. And the thing that really sticks out is what you just mentioned, people being referred to as double agents, quote unquote, where they're talking about being a family and being all in this together, when really there are other conversations happening behind closed doors. And somebody asked George Kliavkoff about the collegiality among commissioners specifically and whether that's gone forever. And he said he hopes it's not gone forever, but I'm not sure how anybody can trust anybody else in a room at this point.
Yeah, and there was a time, and I know people hate to hear about old school, but like last week when we heard all this, I mean, during COVID, we're all collegial, and then we saw what a food fight that was. And during the CFP, and then we saw, the new guy from the ACC, and I do want to ask you about him, Warren and the Pac-12 commissioner talk about alignment. I've been around. I've seen it all. You've seen it all. It's just individually, they're all really interesting and collegial people, but they're not believable. And I just don't know why the media takes them very seriously anymore, and we tend to every time they say something.
Well, look, I think George Kliavkov's comments today were actually a little refreshing because he said what was on his mind and he wasn't being collegial, right? I mean, he was launching some not veiled shots, but actual shots at the Big 12. I wish more of them operated in this manner. I think a lot of people hoped that Jim Phillips had taken some shots like that last week in Charlotte at ACC Media Day, rather than talking about gated communities and what's happening to the enterprise of collegiate athletics, at least come out and say, hey, Big Ten, what you guys just did to us and the Pac-12 after claiming we had an alliance is, I don't know, BS, right? Be honest, be open, be forthright, because the collegiality that everybody loves to talk about, it's just not there anymore, and let's just stop pretending.
So let me ask you about that, because I was at the SEC, and I was getting bits and pieces. I've talked to people that were there, Andrea. And again, nice guy. Jim Phillips, have a cup of coffee with. He's perfect. But he just appeared like in a time warp last weekend in Charlotte. Tell us about what it looked like up close.
That's exactly the way that it appeared in person, Paul, and it was surprising to say the least, because I think a lot of us felt that he should have delivered a much stronger message about where the ACC is right now in terms of its grant of rights, which everybody behind closed doors will tell you we feel it is ironclad. That is what is keeping us together. Yeah, we know we're behind financially from the SEC or the Big Ten, but we're in a really good spot to keep all of our teams together and find ways to try and close that gap. But instead of saying that and talking about the strength of where they feel they are right now, they feel they're stronger than the Pac-12 and the Big 12. But instead of saying all that, he got lost in the messaging about the enterprise of collegiate athletics. And that sounds great. And Jim is a lifelong collegiate administrator. He believes in all this stuff with all his heart. And what collegiate athletics represents and what it stands for and how many opportunities it gives to student athletes, that's all well and good. But that's not where we are right now in collegiate athletics. People want to hear, what are you going to do to keep pace with what the Big Ten and the SEC are doing? Not about what it means to be in charge of collegiate athletics, or not what it means to say, oh, well, it shouldn't all be all about football and talk about gated communities, which I think should never have been in his comments to begin with. And so I think that's why those comments were not received as well. I think he could have done a much better job explaining where the ACC stands right now, acknowledging that there are things that have to be fixed moving forward, but feeling optimistic about where things are. I just think when he was trying to say that, it all got lost with the other stuff that he put in there.
Andrea, it's not, I mean, you would not do what I would do, because you're meticulous. And if you were invited to the Fighting Gators Touchdown Club in Gainesville a week from now, you would prepare. I'd walk in after having a beer with the guys and free will it. I say all this because I know commissioners, and so do you, and I know some of them spend weeks, if not months, vetting those speeches. They're nationally televised, they're disseminated. So I'm making a wild guess here that the ACC, I know it seems like a mom and pop operation in Nowheresville, North Carolina, but they're about to move. So tell me that they have an apparatus around Jim Phillips, and he just didn't walk in there and wing it. Because if he did, I'll give him a pass. But I know he didn't. So how can he possibly explain how a vetted speech would be that poorly delivered and received?
Not only was that speech vetted, Paul, it was actually longer initially than what was presented. And those comments ran almost 30 minutes. So I can only imagine what the initial rough draft had in it that eventually maybe didn't make the cut. So yes, he has people around him. And look, again, when you talk to officials in the league, they will tell you that they feel they're in a good position. Okay, maybe not great financially because they know they have a long climb to catch with where the Big Ten and the SEC are. This has been an issue that Jim Phillips has had to confront from the moment he became commissioner. I wrote a story about that with my colleague David Hale in March of 2021 before any realignment happened about where the ACC was from a financial perspective because some of the contracts that they had signed from a television perspective had hamstrung them compared to what the SEC and the Big Ten were getting. Well, now that's exacerbated even more because of what's happened with realignment. So the ACC clearly has an issue on their hand, but they have to present their side of it in a much better, more compelling fashion, I think, than what they did. And look, Jim wholeheartedly believes in this athletics mission, right? This is who he is. This is why he's an administrator. This is why those comments came across the way that they did, because very clearly Jim put a lot of thought into what he wanted to say because of what he believes in. And that's great that he believes all that. And I applaud him for believing in all of that. But this is a big business. And this is a business that's gotten even bigger, so to speak, over the last year. And there has to be some acknowledgement of that.
Andrew, thank you. You're way too reasoned and rational to be our first guest on that subject. But thank you anyway. It's always good to see you. And let's catch up soon.
Good to see you again, Paul.
Yeah, Andrea was being nice because it was a total fail. Jim Phillips, right out of the chute, has swung and missed badly, and he quite frankly embarrassed the ACC at the most critical moment in its history, when the league needed a strong leader, when it needed to gain credibility, as it appears its top members are looking elsewhere. And instead, he was a total disaster last week for a vetted speech. I would have liked to have seen what was cut out of that. Let's talk about what we're doing here a little bit later on when we come back. Your phone calls as well. Big show on tap.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We got James Kirpea joining us from the Oregonian. Used to cover Auburn. Jerry Brewer, good friend of ours from the Washington Post. And there may be one other guest that we are not State Department has asked us not to disclose until we confirm it. A little music here on a Friday. Everybody referring to the big release today of Beyonce. What was your first record? Now, a lot of you probably have never bought a record. I keep forgetting we are no longer living. Well, we are. I was someplace Wednesday. I've already said where I was. I was in New Orleans, and I was walking around for a couple of minutes in the quarter, and I ran into a really cool vinyl record shop. I know those are very big right now, but a lot of you have never bought a record. But we asked you to share. I go back to another era, but we were talking about that in the office today. Let's check in with Andre in Atlanta. Hello, Andre.
Coach Feinbaum. Hey, Coach, did you have a reel-to-reel, eight-track, or did you have a 78th and a 45?
The first thing, I think we had, my dad was a big vinyl record guy, so I think he had right. First was a 78, and then we got the, then I got my own phonograph. I think that's what it was called. that I used to play my older sister. I used to play her Beatles records, and then I started. But what was your music era?
Well, you know, I come up in the 70s in Mississippi, so I came up with a lot of the stylistics and the OJs.
Oh man,
and, CCR, you know, and a lot of that, and Proud Mary with the great Ike.
I had that 78, rolling down the river.
yeah, could you do that?
Left a good job in Memphis.
Yeah.
Pumped a lot of pain down in New Orleans. Do you, I want to say one thing about New Orleans. People, it is not called New Orleans. You know, you probably know why artists call it New Orleans, because you can rhyme New Orleans and you can't rhyme New Orleans.
Well, you know what, though, Coach? I tell anyone, if you've never been to a great zoo, go to the Audubon down there in New Orleans. That, besides the one in San Diego, that's the best zoo I've ever seen.
No, I was not far from that zoo the other night.
Okay, were you gambling down there?
No, I passed the casino, but I did not go in. Hey, you've heard me tell this story before. I know. I apologize to Augie, who probably has heard this 10 times, but the last time I was in Harrah's was two or three nights before the national championship game between Alabama and LSU and Jordan. Was it Jordan Jefferson? I'm trying to remember his name.
The quarterback, that's his name.
No. Who was the quarterback for LSU that year?
Yeah, that was Jordan Jefferson.
I'm walking in there. It's a funny story. Jordan Jefferson in there, and a couple of us are watching him. And this guy, this is now 3 nights before the championship game, and he lost his wallet. And I got down on the floor. I was actually angling for a story. I got down on the floor with Jordan Jefferson on my knees trying to find his stupid wallet. And if Jordan had only stayed in the casino for 3 more days, LSU might have had a chance in that game.
I don't know about that, man. That left my well. Hey, look, Coach. The reason I was calling was I listened to that interview today with Ryan Leaf and Guy Haberman. And listen, the man is just naive. He's in fantasy lane, because when it comes down to big money. You can't trust nobody. And, you know, all the time, the Big Ten was massaging, cutting his throat at the same time. So, hey, Coach, y'all have a great weekend. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Yeah, I also ran into Jeremy Pruitt in the casino that night. He wasn't gambling. He was checking on his players to make sure they got back to the hotel on time. AC is up next.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Happy Friday. How you been?
We've been doing great, AC.
Yeah, well, man, I don't know what happened to your energy, but it's okay. 4 years ago, can you say you have a better recall memory? Probably you will be more than able to recall this. Do you remember when Jim told Skrull, quote unquote, "I hope he dies"? Do you remember that?
I must have forgotten that.
Oh my God!
You know, AC, I'm at that age where you can barely remember what day it is. You know that.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, I mean, you repeat it so many times, Mr. Feinbaum. I have a better recall memory. I guess, well, all right, fine. That's an excuse. Because you just celebrated your birthday. Probably you are drunk. I don't know, but congratulations, whatever you did. But, I mean, how can a guy like Squirrel could trust Jim when Jim's backstabbed legend? That's that guy. I know there's a private conversation they're going to have. Jim is to owe a public apology to this man. Squirrel, your new best friend. Squirrel, I have a message for you. Sooner or later, boy, Jim is going to backstab you. But let's face it, tonight, the paralegal, Mr. Soggy, is going to be too busy to get them reunited, Jim and Squirrel. But the thing is, Soggy, I have a message for you. Legend and Joe in Red Bay, if I were you, I would check that transcript, that phone conversation he's having about two of you. If you need my help, I have that. My team and I, we have that transcript for you. Unless you want it, just reach out to me. We can relay the message to you. Mr. Feinbaum, enjoy your weekend, buddy. Squirrel, congratulations. 34 years of your company's marriage. I appreciate that. But the thing is, just watch your back. Friendly advice. Jim cannot be trusted. Mr. Feinbaum, I'm going to hang up by saying this. You know better than I do. Can you trust Jim from Tuscaloosa? Enjoy your weekend, Mr. Feinbaum.
Does anyone know what this guy was talking about? Guys in my ear, did are we waiting? Has the translator? Okay. What about it, John? You're a smart guy. Do you know what he was talking about? You care?
So much for his parables. If that's his revelation, I'm going back to the Bible.
You can never go wrong going back to the Bible.
Anyways, Jim needs to ignore him. Jim's been red hot this week, doing well. And, you know, he hit on something the other day, suggesting you'd have big news today. Anything coming up?
No, I don't know what just seems like another day. I mean, it's early in the day, but I have no news.
Now, I mean, from an HR perspective, you've used up all your paid time off. You're confident. Looks short-term.
John, I promised on Monday I would be here 4 days this week, and I have fulfilled my promise.
Hey, some best and worst comments. And this one didn't come out of your show, but Coach Drink, when asked about Tennessee, saying he'd have to get his wife to step up her game. I thought that was a classic.
I joked about this yesterday, and I got some feedback that it didn't go over well with the person I was talking about. But I felt like Drink has just left Lane Kiffin in the dust. I mean, Drink is the new it coach in the SEC. I mean, Lane looks old with his Twitter game compared to what Drink had to say here.
Absolutely. And your interview with Pat Forte was great. You know, I've met him a couple times. He's lives in Louisville here. But his summary of the Phil Fulmer and Jeremy Pruitt as Mr. Know-Nothing and Mr. Simpleton was classic as well.
That's funny.
And by the way, I'm wondering if Mrs. Pruitt, a.k.a. the bag woman, she did work as the compliance officer down at Florida State under Jimbo, a.k.a. snake oil salesman. Could Jeremy use the old Adam and Eve defense that he was tempted by the devil?
I think that would be my excuse. I don't know about Jim.
Yeah. And the worst comment I heard all week, and you had some great interviews, was it Gently, Genter Estes?
Genter,
is that the interview
yeah.
you had?
Right.
Yeah. Him saying that the 18 level one violations were not egregious, and then shading on Tennessee for cooperating. I thought they were, the stupidest comments I heard all week. Tennessee, they had already turned them in, so Tennessee could only cooperate and short the investigation. So here's my question on the Pac-12. They're the most vulnerable right now. Big 12 and Big 10 are circling around them. But it's been mentioned or discussed that they have a window opening to renegotiate with ESPN. Is that the only thing that can save them at this point?
Well, I'm sure that they do have that window. Most conferences have what's called a look-in, which means that they are obligated to sit down at some point in the contract and have a conversation. But as you know, being in business, John, there's no language that adheres that they have to adhere to that makes them renegotiate. They just have to have a conversation about it.
But if you're I think they're ESPN, not Fox. I can't recall, but
right.
If let's just say they're ESPN, you're not going to do a contract with what's really the Pac-10.
No.
When they've lost their LA market, unless you get a grant of rights, correct?
And remember, you're now negotiating with a company that essentially is headquartered in Burbank, California. They are well aware of USC at Disney headquarters in Burbank. They know who they are and they know what they mean. And this isn't a guy sitting in a corporate suit who's going to miss out on how devalued that league is now. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. It is Friday, in case you lost your daily planner. Welcome back. We have already had one guest on, Andrea Adelson. We have more coming. And let's get to the calls. And Hayden is up next in Alabama. Hello, Hayden.
Hey, Mr. Paul. I called yesterday. It's the Chick-fil-A dude.
Oh, my. Hey, you created quite a show for us here on Chick-fil-A, Hayden.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, everybody was talking about it. Okay, so you're the one that's interested in sports broadcasting. Am I correct?
Hey, man, 100%, Paul, 100%.
So tell me what kind of background you have so far, and ultimately, what would you like to do?
Well, I'd like to work in either Major League Baseball, college football, anything. I had a radio show this past year on it was on 102.9 WKXX Fox Sports Radio.
Okay.
It was a college football and high school football show. We did that. I have my own podcast that I'm working on, and I'm trying to kind of better myself there, and in my field, or that I want to do anyways, and just really work my way up, and try one day maybe be up there with you and the big guns.
Well, let me tell you a story. Eli Gold told me this story. I'm sure you know who Eli is. He said,
"Oh yeah,"
and you're already way ahead of this, but he said when he was in high school, he would go to the Madison Square Garden for the Rangers games or the Knicks and sit up in the rafters in the cheap seats that he could afford and broadcast the game on a cassette player. The reason I bring this story up is the one thing that I've learned that helps people the most is getting experience. It sounds very cliche, Hayden, for me to say that. But you don't have to be on the air or on television or radio to gain experience. You just have to be working at your craft, learning how to talk to people. If you're doing play-by-play, I can't help you on play-by-play because I never did it, nor could I do it. But I would advise you to talk to guys who have done it, if that's what interests you. How do they do it? What the cadence is, and then get experience. I mean, you could go to a little league park tonight. in your town and sit there with a recorder. You get a lot of people thinking you were crazy, but that's okay. And then listen back to it, or let somebody who has experience listen to it and help you avoid making the same mistakes that perhaps you have been making, or maybe you're not making any. As far as a talk show, there's no template for it other than to do it and feel comfortable doing it. It's like a singer. You're always going to have nerves, but if you know the material, if you you have the right musical accompaniment, you can deliver it. But confidence is the key. You can't walk into a broadcast jittery or not thinking that you'll be able to pull it off.
Yeah, that's one thing I've tried to avoid. I'm working on my confidence right now and just trying to build it up and seeing what I can do. I'm a big Auburn fan, so obviously I'm not really excited for this year. I guess I am excited, but to a certain extent, you know.
I'll tell you one more thing. I took a class in college. It was one of the best classes I've ever had. It was called Interpretation of Speech. It was basically a class into Freud, but part of the class was you had to write X number of times a week. You had to write down your personal thoughts. This is part of the, I'm not going to go Freud on anybody here because I'm not well versed in it enough, but by expressing yourself, you get these things out. The second part of it was you had to talk to yourself an hour a day. Now, does that sound crazy? Think about this. I used to walk down the street in college talking to myself, but you know what I learned in talking to myself, Hayden? I learned that I like talking. So, you could take a walk in a park tomorrow afternoon and conduct an interview, and it helps you learn how. Sometimes it almost helps you learn what not to do or say as opposed to what to say. But when you hear yourself talk, it sounds cliche, you can learn a great deal about how you sound. Now, I can't do this because it drives me crazy, but I would recommend you doing it. Listen to yourself on a recording, which is very easy to do now with phones or anything else. And you'll learn. Every time I hear myself, I turn it off because I think it sounds so bad. But you have to do it, though. At your point in life, you have to learn what to avoid and what you're doing. It's like being a football player. Running a play or running a certain type of pattern. You keep doing it until you do it. You can do it by heart. Without the repetition is the most important thing.
Absolutely. And Ms. Paul, you care if I say one more thing real quick?
Go right ahead.
All right, man. I promise I'll get out of here. I interviewed Cole Kublik and on SEC Network and on Jocks 94.5, and also Damian Mitchell over there. Great group of people. And Damian, he said he's gotten some good advice from you. And that's kind of it. It's just I know that you're really good at what you do, and yeah, that's just about it.
Well, Hayden, one more thing I would suggest, since you know Damian. Damian runs the morning show at Jocks. He's a really very talented young man. I would see if they let you come down there and sit in and watch how they do it.
Man, I would love that.
Hayden,
give me a recommendation.
Hayden, I would check with Damian, and he's in charge. So. They have three shows there every day, so it doesn't matter which one. Just check in with Damian or somebody else there, and find out if you could come down there. And I used to have people do that with me at Jocks all the time. They would come and hang out, it's amazing what you can learn about the business by watching the best professionals in certainly in the South operate. And that I would say that about that station. We'll take a short break. Back with more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
I-Man is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Very interesting call you had with Hayden there about experience. And I agree with you totally. I think, in order to do what he wants to do, videotape himself, record himself, watch himself, listen to himself. And, you touched on something I was going to say. You know, most people, when they listen to themselves on recordings or whatever, they don't, it's hard for them to understand that's what they really sound like. and getting used to hearing yourself speak or sing or whatever is it's kind of eye opening, and you have to build up a lot of confidence to get past that.
And, you know, I wonder, because you're in the music industry, how difficult it must be for artists, because, I mean, you're listening to the same thing over and over again, trying to perfect a studio record, and you better like your voice.
Well, you have to, and you know, everybody is going to be real critical when it comes to mixing and things like that. You get, if there's four guys in the room, three of them are happy, the other guys, he's extremely upset,
right?
Because that's not, you know, why'd you do that? And that's a very complicated little task there to make everybody happy. But, you know, I found this out because I used to record myself and videotape myself, you know, when we would do shows and practice and things, because I needed to see what I looked like. And, you know, was my posture, and, you know, did I look like I was having fun? And a lot of the guys would say, why are you doing this? Because, they thought I was being critical of their parts. I said, no, I'm working on my part. I trust you to do your part. I'm working on my part. And being Southern, you know, most guys, the Southern drawl has a slower pace to it than maybe other accents around the country. And you have to learn to spit it out and get the words. And in singing, if you're doing cover tunes, you may not be able to phrase like the song you're trying to do, and you have to learn to find that phrasing that fits you, that allows you to spit things out in time. And you're very good at it, you know, with what you do here, because you've had a lot of practice at it. And when you told him to go listen and watch professionals like at Jocks, I mean, that's the thing to do, you know, watch and listen, try to learn, you know, and pay attention to yourself, because it's you that you're trying to move and carry out there. And that's what you was talking about, Laura Rutledge, the other day. Perfect example of what you and I are talking about right this minute. Would you agree?
Yeah, and she had an idea. But it also takes time, my man. I know every generation sounds like the previous one. But you can't make any career, whether it's doing what you do professionally or me or anyone else, you can't go through the express lane and expect it to be perfect. You have to learn how to do it.
Well, if you go to the express lane, guess what? You get express lane results.
Mm-hmm.
Everything gets screwed up, and you don't know why. And you think other people are being critical of you, kind of like Jim thinking everybody's jealous of him because he's an express lane guy. And you know, why would anybody be jealous of the express lane guy? Just go out there and do your work and trust in yourself. And you know what? Confidence in yourself is the most important thing. You look out there at the people just like you do. This is my job. Showtime. And it can be scary, but you learn not to see all of that other stuff out there. You pay attention to your staff, your bandmates or whatever, and you just trust everybody to do their job. Because why would you be there if you didn't trust them, right? You trust that staff you've got, and you've always had a good staff of people around you. And that's an amazing thing in itself. You're very fortunate that you had that many, you know, talented people but you know what? Talented people like that navigate to guys like you, because you bring something to the table. They don't know what the hell it is, but they know it's interesting. Just like this show. Nobody really knows what the hell it is, but they tune in and they come back and they come back because they're listening for Express Lane Guy. They want a divine thought. They want to be moved. They want to be carried. They want to be tortured. They want to be tormented. They want to be picked up and body slammed. And then somebody go, woo, kiss the wings, kiss the wings. Would you agree, Paul? Of course that's what they want.
Of course I would agree, yes.
And then, you know, nothing like the Bama fan coming on. And, you know, you got to love it when you listen to Bama fan that's radio host or something, and he's interviewing other coaches around the country or players or guests. You know what the number one question is? They talk about that particular person for a little bit, and then right out of nowhere, what you think about Nick Saban? What you think about Nick Saban? What you think about Alabama? And that's what you got. You got Alabama fans just like Larry. Larry's going to put you in a sleeper. Paul, you would have to lay down and go to sleep for Larry to put you in a sleeper hold. And he'd take credit for it.
He would.
Anyway, Paul, you have a great weekend and have a divine thought, because I know there's something moving in the air. There's something special. There's something growing. It's really damn growing.
So true. We'll see you in just a moment. 3 hours to go on a Friday.